Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So, thy will be done. And we are told that God's will is good and gracious. It is His good and gracious will. Yes. It is His will to give us all things that we need for this body and life, to surround us with blessings in this world. It is His will that we should have joy in His presence. It is His will to pour out blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Like Luther says, God wants the honor of being an unending fountain of blessings, that the more we draw from it, the more richly He pours out, whose blessings can never be exhausted, so that in our lives, then, the biggest issue is how to pass on those blessings to others. It's what He desires. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And so we are. More than anything else, what God desires is to bless us with the spiritual blessings. And every blessing that is given for this world, this body, is then a stepping stone to those next blessings. Last Sunday, we talked about this in Bible study. First article, blessings. Second article, blessings. First article, prayers. Second article, prayers. The first article, blessings, body and life. Food and drink, house and home, wife and children, field, cattle, and all that I need to support this body and life. Defends against all danger, guards and protects from all evil. Those are the first article, blessings. And when people come to pray to God, yeah, usually they focus on those first article blessings. When God answers a prayer for first article blessings, He always, always has in mind the deeper relationship, moving on to the second article, which has to do with Jesus, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, and for me to live forever in His kingdom, in everlasting blessedness. And whenever God gives a blessing in the first article or answers a prayer in the first article, it is His desire to draw that person into the second article because He wants the relationship deeper. He wants the relationship closer. He wants us walking with Him and Him walking with us. And for that to be unending and to lead into more and more and more glory. So, from that perspective, isn't it strange to have those who are sinners who hold back from God? Or I don't want to come to Him. He has those commandments. There's that law. It's terrifying. It shows part of what sin does in that we don't see who He truly is. And it's not only unbelievers who do not see that clearly? How often in our lives as Christians do we hold back or hesitate? But another quote from Luther, God loves to be pestered by us. And just continually invites us to come to Him. It's a battle. It is a battle. Because while God tenderly invites, while He assures us that His will is a good and gracious will, we are surrounded with some enemies. Beneath us, the devil, who lies continually about God. Around us, the world that says, look at these other things. Look at all of these goodies. And you want to stay just being a Christian and following God? And if that wasn't bad enough, guess what? Inside of each one of us, there's a traitor. I am my own evil twin. That old sinful nature, the old Adam, doesn't want God. Doesn't want His things. Doesn't want that kingdom of heaven. As I described it early in the 20th century, pie in the sky, by and by. No, give me what I want now. That's my old sinful nature. Oh, commandments? Who wants those? That's a restriction of my freedom. My will be done. That's my old sinful nature. And I have to deal with the fact that when I fall into sin, guess who betrayed me? It was me. And those of you who are old enough, remember the line from the comic strip Pogo, we have met the enemy, and he is us. Yeah. What do we do? How do we get through all of this? Strangely enough, the cure and the salvation does not come from our will to strive for the higher road. How strange is this going to sound? But God's will to strive for the lower road. How strange is that? But let's make it even more curious. What would happen if thy will be done did not mean grace and every blessing? What if thy will be done meant judgment and every curse? How would you pray thy will be done? How indeed? And who would ever be in that position? Oh, guess what? You know who was in that position? That would be Jesus. Thy will be done. What is thy will? As Jesus is kneeling in Gethsemane, thy will means everything goes wrong. Arrest and beating and being spit on and mocked and, oh, by the way, the disciples running away. Absolute cutting out and abandoning Him. And then He's on trial. He looks over just as Peter is uttering the, I don't know Him. Ah, Peter, you were ready to go with me and to die with me. What happened? Everyone deserting. Oh, and it gets worse. Because there's one more to desert. And that would be God the Father. Thy will be done? Ah, yes. Thy will. As the Father turns his back on Jesus, forsakes Jesus on the cross, and leaves Jesus there, hanging with the sin of the whole world, guilty, forsaken, darkness around, darkness above, from the Father, darkness below, from the seeming triumph of the devil, darkness beginning to course through him as the pangs of death come upon him. Thy will be done. It's astonishing. It is religion that has gone off the rails, and the righteous are not being rewarded. And evil is triumphing, and this is our faith, and there it is in all of its... all of its despair. And yet, he keeps on, because the thy will be done in Gethsemane becomes the prayers of the cross and becomes that firm calling upon God. There are, by the way, three prayers from the cross. First, middle, and last words. First one starts out, Father. The middle one, my God. The last one, Father. Did you hear that word from Gethsemane? Abba, Father. It's the Aramaic word, Abba. Close, it's intimate, it's tender, it's loving and loved, it is bound together in relationship. Abba, Father. And it's those words that he carries to the cross. Thy will be done becomes this absolutely astonishing grabbing a hold of that relationship with his Father, even when he is cut off, and this absolute certainty that the will of God is not going to end in death and destruction, but there will be a third day, and there will be a resurrection. And so, as everything falls apart, and as everyone turns away, and as there is complete and utter abandonment, it is still Abba, Father, and thy will be done. So deep is the trust, so full the faith, that the will of God is going to be the salvation of the world. And his relationship with God is not going to be threatened or destroyed, even as he is cut off. There's a phrase in the epistles of Paul that for several hundred years was translated as faith in Christ, which Oh, in the last about 40 years, commentators have been looking at it again. And in the Greek, it's, why did we ever switch away from that wooden original translation, the faith of Christ? Now that's being reconsidered. Because, oh, there is some preaching that can be done by preaching about the faith of Christ. Isn't there? This amazing forerunner, author, and perfecter of faith. Borrow some phrases from the letter to the Hebrews chapter 12. Author and perfecter of faith. Why? Because he does not just tell us human beings that we should live in faith and trust his word. He goes farther than we ever will have to go. And walks down that path with faith. He will not be turned aside. He will not be dissuaded. He will not be convinced otherwise. The Father is his Father. The Father is his God. And he will call him that. And he will worship him. And he will trust him. Even while he is being judged and, yes, the word is accurate, damned. Judged and cut off from his Father, and yet he is going to pray, Father and my God. And that is tough. That is a strong faith. That is a mighty and powerful faith. And that faith of Jesus, very simply, carries us out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of doubt and into faith, out of judgment and into salvation. It's one of those spots where when you know just how far God goes, just how extreme the love of Jesus is, you want to look at it and look at it very, very closely. That's my salvation. It's my salvation on the shoulders of Jesus, the Lamb of God, praying, "Thy will be done." And then Jesus coming back to me and saying, now that he has faced the darkest of everything, now in my life, when he promises grace and every blessing, when I don't see that grace and every blessing right now, this day, this moment, think I can still trust him? I think so. He went the whole way. And there is not a place that I can go in my faith or in my doubts that Jesus will not be there right beside. He's seen it all. He's endured it all. In Jesus' name.